For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Over the course of our career, there's been one dude who's had our back at every turn. He's family to us, and that's good because he's super rich. Ha! He's a true badass. He is the owner of the Dallas Mavericks, the great Mark Cuban, and he joins us now
in the
studio.
Boys?
How you doing, brother?
The Benster, the Skinster. What's better than that?
Yes, sir.
Let's go. And, dude,
so
I was
pumped up.
I was just hitting on you, and I probably should share. Dude, you look better than you've ever looked. What? How? Are you less than your college weight right now?
No, not close to that, but I'm getting there.
God, you look great. What are you doing?
Working out working out hard.
Yeah.
more than the Stairmaster. Because we haven't seen you on the Stairmaster in a couple of years because they moved that thing out
back,
of you.
Yeah, so the media doesn't get to see me or talk to me while I'm on it. But yeah, I've just been playing a lot of ball, working out, bought a Peloton, so I've been getting on that.
Okay.
And I went vegetarian. And so that kind of changed my eating habits and set me off to the right direction.
Wait, can we get into this right quick?
Because
I want to know, my wife's gone down that path. Uh-huh. And there was a slate of documentaries that got kind of the general public thinking and talking about this. How prevalent is that with players? Because I know DeAndre
did last year. Yeah, some are. I mean, everybody, you got to pick what works for you. I'm not doing it because of some big overriding theme or whatever. I just wanted to see how I felt.
Mm-hmm.
And I did it. It was a little bit of energy shortage right at the beginning, but it's been 7 months now and I feel great. And, I crave sweets less and I used to be like, I'll get me that juicy steak and it hasn't been that way. And so it's easier to eat less and I can pig out on things that I like still and manage my calories and I just work out more. And I have to admit though, part of it is competing with my wife. On the iWatch, I learned that you can compare the activity calories and everything.
Yes.
So my wife and I have this thing going where she gets to see what I've been doing. I get to see what she's been doing, right? So it's one of those stupid things where I'll get home late and she's got me beat by 200 calories. And so I've got to get on the elliptical we have at home and all that stuff.
Okay, so dude, are you rocking a medium? What size shirt is this?
A large.
Good God, when's the last time you were just rocking a large? And it's baggy.
Room in
there.
It's been a while. It's been a while, yeah.
God,
it feels
awesome.
Good though, my pants are loose. I've been working out. I tell you, the best thing about it though is that Peloton can kick your ass, right? And so my cardio is so much better. So when I go play pickup, used to be two games and I'm bent over holding my shorts and everything. Now I can just go run and run and run.
Wow.
And I feel better. Yeah, stuff doesn't hurt as much, so it's really good.
Let's talk about pickup basketball.
Uh-huh.
We know you're a big pickup player. So when guys are covering you, do you feel like they go hard to block your shots? They go, I block Cuban shot.
No,
I
mean, what's it like? It's the other way. It's the other way. When I'm guarding them, it's like they're trying to earn a 10-day.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Or you get guys just jacking up shots when I'm on the court thinking, okay, he's going to recognize my talent.
Right,
hell no, bro.
talking to Mark Cuban in studio here, 105.3 The Fan. So talking about weight and stuff, I think one of the big stories in the offseason was, what is Luka going to look like?
I like that segue.
Isn't that
good? Really good.
Pros.
That's professional
pros.
Right there.
You should hire him on the Mavs broadcast.
So let's talk about Luka. Let's talk about what he's done and what he looks like and what you've seen so far.
Yeah, the sign of someone really geared towards superstardom is how hard they work in the offseason, particularly after winning Rookie of the Year. Do they just enjoy the moment and just go show up the next year, or do they really go to work? And Luka really went to work. Worked on his body because I would give him a hard time because I was losing weight and I'd pick up my shirt and he'd throw up. And and so it was like, no, you got to be skinnier than the owner. And so he really, he got into it and it definitely shows. His cardio is better. His conditioning is better. His body's better. And he's still thick. I mean, he's so strong, mm-hmm. but he hasn't lost the strength.
Do you have him wired into your iWatch also?
No. I try to get Dwight Powell because Dwight Powell is the ultimate workout freak.
Oh my God, yes.
I mean, he doesn't, there's nothing that you, like I do a lot of Rise Nation, the VersaClimber thing, mm-hmm. and he's the one who brought me there. He'll go through 30 minutes of Rise Nation. I'll be soaked and just dying. And he'll like have 1,000 points more than I do. And it's like, okay, let's go work out.
Yeah.
He's just a beast. So yeah, Dwight hasn't hit me back. I think he's afraid of me now.
he's a really weird athlete in that he's kind of like the like what you'd see of a 6'3 guy, but he's just 7 feet tall.
Yeah, I mean,
Ben and I were at the Dirk tennis stuff the last couple of years, and he had never played tennis. But he was rushing the net, and it was just
God. Oh no, he's a freak athlete. It's like he never really played baseball growing up in Canada, and he played in Dirk's game,
right?
And like he's just blasting it right, like nothing, hand eye coordination, all the above. You know, he's just a genetic freak. This year was his first. He tweaked his hammy, and so won't be there tonight, but hopefully he'll be back for Portland. But he's just out of his mind athletic.
It's Mavs Christmas morning. Mark Cuban's in studio. I can't believe what's happened to this team. I can't believe that we have Luka and Porzingis. And yes, I'm saying we got Luka and Porzingis. How the hell did we do that?
You know what? Let's not get too excited. You know, we got to get it working together. But I'm so jazzed. I can't. It's like it was Christmas Day this morning, right? I woke up and, what day is it? It's home opener day.
Dirk was in your kitchen going, guess what day it is?
it's really exciting. This day cannot come fast enough. You know, watching the preseason games, seeing just a glimmer of what KP is going to be able to do, seeing them together, seeing them start to build that chemistry. It's just, and then look, I mean, JJ is back. We can't underplay that. Jalen Brunson's gotten better. Timmy Hardaway now, it's amazing his look on the court if you watch preseason versus the end of last year because, when he stopped playing, just he's physically better. Seth is back. He's physically better. You know, we've got shooters. We brought back our core rotation. Once everybody gets their roles down and everybody, gets a better feel for playing together, it's just going to be, I'm excited.
Yeah,
guess what day it is.
There's Dirk saying, "Guess what day it is." I mean, I usually get excited for this anyways, right. But this feels like early 2000s to me.
Yeah, the early 2000s, we really didn't know what we had with Dirk, right? Mm-hmm. We didn't really know what we had with Nashy and Finn. I mean, we knew some with Finn, but with KP and he's a unicorn, right? And so we're still waiting to see exactly. And I'm not trying to tell everybody starting tonight he's going to be the all-star he was with the Knicks because he's got to get his feet wet. It's been 18 months, right? No one just comes back and immediately just readjusts to the NBA. So, he'll go through an evolving process, but, he's never played with a point guard like Luka. And you can just see the glimmers when, Luka he'd just be wide open and Luka found him, right? And the thing about KP is he's always open.
Yeah.
And you'll places last year where Luka had to launch some tough, tough shots, KP is going to be right there. And if KP is taken away, then you've got Luka. And if Luka's and KP are taken away, we've got a ton of other options. And, when we get Dwight back, he rolls hard and, he's one of the best finishers in the NBA. There's going to be some good things. I'm really excited.
It's going to be an exciting brand of basketball. And I think that's like what I always ask for is competitiveness. Is the product entertaining? I don't expect the Mavericks to contend for a title. I'm not an unrealistic person, but you guys are going to be in the playoff chase, and that means a lot.
Yeah, I think, it all comes down to injuries, right?
Yeah.
Ours and other teams. And so should we be a playoff team? Yes. Should we make some noise in the playoffs? Yes. Will we surprise people? Yes. Because I think what a lot of people miss is, when you're not a good team, like we haven't been the last few years, your role players get downplayed, right? Mm-hmm. It's like, oh, they're just hangers-on. Dorian Finney-Smith, Maxey, how good can they possibly be because the Mavs aren't that good? But as the team improves, their profile increases and the perspective people have of them improves as well. And so all of a sudden, guys, that maybe people didn't really, that they slept on them. It's like, oh, wow, I didn't realize how good Maxey is. You're on television more, right. All that stuff. And so, Seth coming back, we're going to be out there shooting 50 threes a night.
Yes.
We're going to, instead of making 34%, we're going to hopefully make 36 or 37%. If we do that, that's another 6 points, 7 points a game. And that's the difference between being a top five team and being, a bottom five team.
And in the GM survey, two GMs not named Donnie Nelson in the league said they'd take Luka number one overall if they were starting a franchise today. Not only is he transcendent, but he's a showman. And so going to Mavs games is going to be one of the hottest tickets it's been in a long, long time. Yeah. It's going to be one of the hottest tickets in town. And I like what you guys have done, too. You guys have dimmed the lights and the crowd. And I don't know. I was, you see pictures from the court, even in the preseason. It looks like it's a concert. It looks awesome.
Yeah, it's a whole different look. I mean, we've upgraded the entertainment. We just did a deal with World Dance.
Oh, nice.
So if you ever, now, since my Dance with the Stars days, I'm a dance guy. Now, like World of Dance on NBC. I mean, we're bringing
that's the J-Lo thing.
Yeah, that's exactly right. So we're bringing them in for 30 games. They'll be there tonight, and so our in-game entertainment is just at a whole nother level. The energy, the we kept all the stuff from Dirk's night with the on the court projection stuff. So it's gonna, I mean, it's gonna be like going to a concert and a huge event. We're really trying to take it to the next level.
And we were told that you were the one who came up with the idea of the Dirk logo on the floor.
Yeah,
that's incredible.
Yeah,
how did that come to you?
That's, I was just sitting on the jaw and I was like, what can I do?
Wait, you were peeing with the Larry O, and then you're sitting on the jaw thinking about
that's
the
Dirk. I do my best thinking.
No. Wipers, come in here. I've got an idea. Wipers,
right? Dude, wipe. You missed a dribble there. But no, we were talking about the court and what we wanted to do. And I was just like, wait a second, you know, the layout and everything. It was just, we don't this, all that other stuff. Let's recognize Dirk, you know, and what better way to do it than with the one legged. And so we just put it out there and we wanted to open it up as a surprise tonight. But then when we had it out there for the Mavs 2K stuff, it got leaked. And so, but it was supposed to be a surprise for Dirk too, but fortunately he liked it.
Man, I have so much respect for the way you guys have handled all this. The Dirk retirement ceremony, he's so special. Yeah. And it's very sad to not have him around.
It's different, and it's sad.
But there's this new era of Mavs basketball, but by putting his, you know, image on the court, it allows him to come along for the ride, which I think is really classy.
Yeah,
you
that's
guys.
The whole idea, right? So that guys were there. And it's funny because like when I first laid it out, it was like, well, we had it opposite of where it is now. And I'm like, no, we can't do that because the visiting team's going to stomp on them, right? And if you don't want the visiting team right in front of their bench, you know, stepping on Dirk's head or something and disrespecting him or running off the court and doing something silly. So it's where the Mavs come in, where we leave the court and right in front of our bench is where we put it because we want it to be balanced and protect Dirk.
And he also hit a lot of big shots in that. I mean, he hit a lot of big shots everywhere.
It wasn't by accident that his 30,000th point.
That was Larry Nance Jr.?
Yeah, Larry Nance Jr., yeah. Right, same spot.
Hey, and are you guys, I mean, look, we've talked about other things too. I want to see a Dirk statue. Yeah. I'd like to see Reunion Tower turned into a basketball. Let's turn that.
With Dirk?
It's his city.
That'd be great.
And I know you're the president of that fan club. And so do you guys have other things in mind for Dirk?
Yeah, Dirk and I got together a couple of weeks ago and talked about the statue. So we've got to pick a sculptor and what it wants to look like and everything. So that's going to take time. So,
yeah.
Especially Dirk because he's so finicky and hates everything initially until he loves it.
Yes.
That's Dirk.
So German.
And so, and then dealing with his jersey retirement, what day are we going to pick? We don't want to do it at the beginning of the season. We want to let this team kind of, you know, gel and bring itself together, you know, and I don't want to put the pressure on Dirk, you know, to think he's intruding or stepping in the way. So we've talked about that stuff and we'll do it in a way that works and that Dirk feels comfortable with.
I'd like to hear your thoughts on this because there was comments on Media Day that really took me aback in a positive way where Luca was talking about Dirk, if they'll have me, I want to be here. And KP was talking about Dirk. And then the other night, Dwight Powell's at a charity event talking about the legacy that Dirk set off the court.
Absolutely.
This is a team that has a guy that's not on the team in very high regard. You usually don't see that with young teams.
Yeah, I mean, Dirk set a foundation for a future. And he knew that, you know, as his career was winding down and we would talk about it. You know, there are things that he wanted to do, the legacy he wanted to leave. And a lot of that had to do with what happened in the locker room, right? Mm-hmm. Or what happens in the locker room and how we treat each other, you know, and Dirk's the type of guy, like when you walk up to him, he's going to say, and then, you know,
my guy,
slap your hand or whatever. Right. And now you hear KP and you hear Luca doing the same thing. doing the Dirk handshake. And so, yeah, it's really nice.
So we have a friend that it's a young kid in Prosper on the basketball team. He's fighting cancer and he's the manager of the basketball team and he's doing a great job and he's about to be through the woods. And Dirk had shot a video for him and Luca and they did some nice things for him, which That's was nice. Awesome. And I was talking to the dad and he goes, hey, I saw Dirk at the hospital. I was like, what? He goes, yeah, I saw Dirk. I was like, hey, thanks for the video. And I was talking to the nurses and they're like, oh, he's here all the time.
Yeah.
And we learned that during, you know, the end of his, you know, career and the great piece you guys ran at the AAC. But they say still, like if he's in town, he's just constantly at the hospital helping kids with no publicity.
Yeah. And that's who Dirk is, right? Dirk's about doing the right thing and just, you know, being the guy he wants to be, being the dad he wants and setting the example for his kids. And that's who he is. And, you know, that's what allowed everything to work. You know, and that's why we were together for so long. Mm-hmm. You know, you can't do that if somebody is not selfless at a certain level.
He's got to probably figure out how much he wants to be there, and I'm sure he wants others to shine. But when he comes, is he going to be sitting down there with you and Finn, or is he going to be in a suite, or what's he going
to
be doing?
That's up to him, right? But he wants to pick a spot. You know, that's the key.
All right, coming up next, we have some questions about things that people might be skeptical about with the Mavericks. Sure. So let's do that with Mark Cuban next on the Ben and Skin Show, 105.3 The Fan. It is the season opener, home opener of the Dallas Mavericks today. Their owner, Mark Cuban, joins us in studio. Don't forget, hour-long pregame tonight, starting at 6:30 from out there on the plaza. And the buzz is different. And, you know, Mark, it really, I was so blown away, and I know everybody was, by an NFL Sunday having 8,500 people there to see a glorified exhibition scrimmage.
Yeah.
That was incredible. Amazing. I would imagine the plaza tonight, and there's some cool restaurants and stuff that's opened out there. It's going to be a madhouse tonight.
It's going to be crazy. Yeah, having, you know, 8,850 was the drop for that thing, and we expected 4,000 people.
Right.
You know, so we didn't expect it, and it was awesome to see, and tonight it's going to be even crazier. And we got like we always free up about 200 tickets, 250 tickets at the end, right? Visiting team doesn't use all the tickets, et cetera. So you can just walk up, and at the box office about an hour before the game, we typically have some tickets left. So
sweet.
Yeah, so go and grab them.
I want to ask you about Porzingis' health, sure. But I had a really funny flashback. When at that exhibition, when it was 2010, and Ben and I were sitting there down there with you right there on the floor, and Ben was going, come on, man, Tyson Chandler's a backup. You know, what did we really do?
Do you remember that? We had the Dampier chip, right?
Yeah.
It was like, oh, that's all you used it for?
You got
Tyson.
A backup to
Guys, so, let's not harp on that.
Well, no, but I was interested, too.
The one and
too.
Done boys. Yeah, I'll never bring that up again.
I can't believe Skin said that.
No, but I was interested in hearing the answer, you know, and that was the beginning of something magical. But that was really the last time I remember that much buzz in that building, and it exceeded all that. And part of it is obviously Luka. The other part is Porzingis. And so the Mav fans that I've talked to that are skeptical or media people are like, man, that's a 7'3 guy with a knee injury. He's missed a year and a half. Everyone's overrating this. What would you say to somebody that's like, hey, how do we know Porzingis is even going to be
healthy? Let's just watch the games.
Okay.
Right? I mean, you saw in the preseason, he didn't shoot great, but look, you don't have an 18-month layoff and then immediately come back and just light everything up.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so he's going to have to go through an adjustment, but he worked hard. And look, guys recover from ACLs.
Yeah.
You know, and so it's not like it's one of those injuries that's really impossible to come back from, and he's trying to be the exception. You know, Achilles are harder and JJ's back.
Right.
You know, and so just the science of rehab has just gotten so much further than 5-10 years ago that, you know, we have no reason not to be optimistic. You know, knock on wood, you never know. Every team is dependent on not having key injuries, but I'm optimistic about KP in a big way.
But where does Casey Smith rank in that regard? Because to us, it seems like he's like best in class.
Yeah, there's no question. I mean, Casey's out there getting his PhD, just always getting smarter. We've got a great group of doctors. I mean, I always invest in companies that try to give us an edge, you know, new technologies that we can use. And I'm always out there looking for things. Casey's always looking for things. Our doctors are looking for things. So anything that can give us an edge, I'm spending the money on. And like I've said it many times, you know, if Luka works out like he has and continues to improve his diet, which has gotten a ton better, there's no reason why he can't play for 25 years because the science is going to be there that'll allow that to happen.
Let's get a 25-year deal done.
Yeah, right. Hey,
it's the old Lakers. Magic Johnson deal.
Yeah, I was just going to say that. Yeah, yeah. Lakers did.
Okay, so how important is sleep in that regard? Because we hear a lot of sleep studies, things about that. How important is that?
Very important, right? I mean, that's why, you know, dealing with circadian rhythms when we go, you know, across more than one time zone, we'll change the times for our wake-ups and meals and everything so the guys are on target. Now, you know, I saw the article about sleep and guys being sleep-deprived. It really, guys have to learn how to nap. You know, it's not necessarily the night sleep, even though that's important. It's learning how to take a sufficient nap so that you refresh. And most guys figure that out, maybe not their freshman or their first or second years, but at some point you have to learn how to nap.
Any advice for someone who gets off the air at 2 and is not going to drive all the way back to Allen? Can go by his dad's house. How long of a nap should I grab?
As long as you can.
Okay.
Hey, just for me, just a 30-minute power nap, and I'm a new man. Give me an hour and I'm jumping off of buildings in a over buildings in a single bound.
All right, Ben brought him up, so I do want to ask about this. You guys have kind of changed the structure on the training side, so Casey has a new position and there's more people on staff. What's going on?
I don't even remember all the details. Casey's like, I want to do this. I'm like, okay. He's like, can we promote this guy? Okay, you know, is this guy smart? Okay, bring this guy in. Okay,
he's earned that, right?
Yeah, he's earned that. So I trust Casey and all that. But you know what I really respect about Casey is not just his relationship with the players, not just the fact that the history he's had, but he's always learning. And to me, that is the ultimate skill set for that position. You know, the technology, the science always changes, and you've got to be one step ahead because that's how teams excel, and that's also how teams make mistakes. And we want to be the team that excels.
So it seems like these guys, all pro athletes, all celebrities, can be public targets a little bit.
Of course.
And obviously what happened to Porzingis in the offseason sucked. It looked like somebody threw a chair at him. Yeah. You know, it's just ridiculous. And those guys stand out. He's 7'3".
Yeah.
He can't hide in a crowd. How do you protect a guy in that regard?
You just ask him to use common sense, right? I mean, look, guys at 22 and 23 are different than guys at 28, different than guys at 35, different than guys at 40. And so, you know, you get more experience and you learn what situations are good and what situations are bad. And, you know, that's not to say that anybody can't make a mistake. You know, we all do. So you just ask them to use his best judgment.
Are you worried about those guys at this point? Does that keep you up at night?
No, you know what? It's funny. I mean, in the early days, I was always worried.
Right.
You know, now everybody's got a phone camera, you know, and everybody's on social media. And they all grew up with social media. They understood it before they got to the NBA. You know, Luka or KP were in their country or whoever coming up and being on Instagram and having a following on Instagram or Snapchat or wherever, they learn now and they know now that there's always going to be a camera wherever they are and they have to be a lot more careful.
So we're bullish on the Mavs. We're drinking the Kool-Aid. We're so freaking excited. We can't stand it. Delicious. I kind of expected there to be more excitement from free agents in the offseason. It's all good, but it seems like their approach was, hey, you guys are going to be awesome, but you know what? These teams are just a little closer right now, and I'm kind of looking forward to them, those guys and more potential free agents watching what happens here in Dallas and going, damn, I need to go play with those guys. Right. How do you think that narrative will evolve?
Well, I think, you know, Luka as a rookie is one thing, right? If we had won 50 games with Luka as a rookie, then it would have been different, you know, but now Luka's got to prove himself, come in and do it again the second year. You know, don't be that rookie of the year that, you know, has this rookie of the year moment and then doesn't produce anything afterwards. You earn that respect. And so if, you know, we get the dubs and Luka, you know, makes everybody on the court better, KP makes everybody's job easier, then we'll be a destination because guys will want to be with us and grow with us. You know, we were in different circumstances over the, I mean, realistically, I mean, we didn't have cap room for the first 15 years, so it wasn't even an option. But, you know, now I think as Luka's game grows and the fact that he makes everybody on the court around him better, then we'll be a bigger destination. But, you know, the flip side of it is we may not have that cap room. You know, it may have to come in trades just like I said, the first 15 years because, you know, Luka's obviously going to be a max out guy. KP's a max out guy. And so, you know, it may not be that same type of opportunity because we have no intent of going backwards in order to create cap room.
Right. Mark Cuban, obviously joining us on the Ben and Skin Show. You know, everyone always wants a big name player, but I do know that you guys went into free agency with your eyes on DeLon Wright and your eyes on Seth Curry because they fit specific roles. So explain to the Maverick fan why you guys thought those were players that you needed to add and what do they do?
Okay, so let's start with DeLon. First of all, he plays downhill when he has the ball and he's good at pushing the ball. Luka can push the ball, but he's not a breakneck speed type push the ball guy. Mm-hmm. DeLon can. Luka doesn't necessarily play downhill. DeLon does. And so DeLon is a great passer. He plays downhill. So that's on the offensive side. On the defensive side, he's long. Mm-hmm. He likes to play defense. He's good at it. He gets into guys' bodies. And so now we wanted him because if you look at Luka at 6'7", DeLon at 6'5", you know, whether it's Dodo or Justin at the three or even sometimes Maxi at the three, plus KP and Dwight and Maxi at the 4-5, whatever combination, we can have a good defensive team out there when we need stops. And that team can also score. And we've got guys who can roll to the rim. And all those guys can shoot the three. You know, DeLon, the only thing he's really got to improve in his game is going from a 34% three-point shooter to a 36 or 37% three-point shooter. If he does that, I mean, he's going to have a huge impact.
Before we move on to Seth, though, I want to ask a question. Like, when you guys are doing your evaluations, so there was a time period, and it was brief, where DeLon hit 37%. Right. He's playing for a great second unit in Toronto. When you guys are dealing with a guy who's got a lower percentage, you know what his shot mechanics are, how much discussion is the type of shots you
guys... A lot, right? And we know that Luka, you know, when he's on the court with Luka, he's going to get good looks.
Yeah.
And we know when if he's on the court and Luka's not there and KP's there, KP's going to get the attention. And if they're both there, then it's going to be even easier. And, you know, to segue into Seth, same thing, right? So you've got Timmy, who can be a 38 to 39, 40% three-point shooter. You got Maxey, who at the end of last year shot 41% from three. Dwight also improved his three significantly at the end of the year. So now if you can put Luka, DeLon at 37% or more, you know, Timmy, even Justin Jackson and Dodo aren't bad three-point shooters. Maxey and Dwight and KP, just any combination thereof, right? We're going to be able to jack up a lot of threes and create a lot of space. You add to that Seth, right? Seth can create off the ball. Seth can play some points. Seth can get guys the ball, but he's always going to knock down his open looks.
Right.
And so, and then bring in JJ into the mix. You already saw, you know, JJ and Timmy Hardaway with some of the old Devin Harris backdoor cuts.
Yeah.
You know, and so JJ is going to get guys the ball on time and on target as well. And so we've got guys who can move the ball, who can shoot the ball, and where we need stops, we can put out a defensive unit as well.
So
Size unit too.
Yeah, I was worried about rebounding until I saw the size of what's out there, and being able to rebound from the guard position is massive. So, you know, people are asking me, well, what's the starting lineup? Do you guys have like an, okay, this is what we want our starting lineup to be, or how fluid is that?
I'd say right now it'll be Luka, obviously, DeLon. The three could be open depending on matchups, and then KP, and then probably Dwight, but since Dwight's hurt right now, Maxey. And that's our most likely lineup. So that gives us the flexibility to defend, to shoot, to have a rim runner, to have versatility, to be able to guard bigs, and to be very hard to guard because that's also a big lineup.
So obviously I was wrong about the one and done boys. I've been wrong about a lot.
So have I.
But I thought, and I'm embarrassed about this, I thought Justin Jackson was kind of just a throw-in. I didn't have high expectations for him. I'm an idiot. He's going to have a significant role on this team.
You will.
I mean, like, explain what his role will be and how homeschool, he's the exactly not a throw-in.
Yeah, homeschool can play. And so,
homeschool, what's that?
Because he got homeschooled. He's a great guy, works his butt off. I mean, he's like Dwight Powell, just always in the gym, put on about 15 pounds of muscle. But, you know, he's improving as a defender. He's not where he needs to be yet, but he's getting closer every day because he works so hard and he got stronger. His three-point shooting improved. You know, he's now learned what a good shot is versus a bad shot. And he's got one of the top 10 floaters in the NBA. You know,
blew me away. Yeah. Because guys 6'8 don't have floaters.
No, I mean, they don't, right?
Yeah.
And so he can put the ball, you know, he can pump fake in the corner. If you leave him open for a corner three, he can take it and hit it. Or if you close out, he's going to pump fake. And he doesn't just do a mid-range floater. I mean, he'll get, you know, 3-4 feet and it's a money shot.
Mm-hmm.
And so he's got these weapons that give him a lot of versatility. And whether he's starting or playing against second unit teams, he can contribute.
All right, coming up next, we have one more segment with the owner of the Dallas Mavericks, Mark Cuban, and we're going to ask him the question everyone wants to know about Rick Carlisle.
Grab your butts. It's go time. It's Mavs Christmas morning, baby. Wow. Dallas Mavericks basketball is back, and they got a good, promising squad that's going to be good for a long time. Get tickets now. A very hot commodity, 214-747-MAVS. You better get those tickets quickly. Boy, though, it's going to be the event to go to each and every time they are playing here at the AAC. Joining us in studio, it is Mavs owner Mark Cuban. Did I get this right? Did you give your cell phone out?
I don't know this story.
Yeah, so I got this new software that allows me to tag all the different texts I get and everything. And so the number is 214. I got a new number just for this. 214-612-6002. And so, yeah, you can text me, and I can't respond to all of them because I get too many, but I go through there and just respond to as many as I can.
Wow, that is so impressive.
Yeah, cool.
How many businesses do you have right now with the Mark Cuban companies through Shark Tank and all the things?
150 plus.
Wow.
Yeah, now I don't run them, obviously.
Yeah.
But I try to help wherever I can, being a smart investor.
How do you do all that?
I've got good people that work for me.
Okay.
Yeah. So they help me with a lot of the day-to-day bookkeeping and tracking stuff. And I get reports from the different companies, and they know when they have a problem, they can come and contact me.
I don't want to put anybody on blast, but what are a few of your favorite? I know you mentioned those cookies. Those cookies are incredible. What are a few of your favorite companies?
So, Alyssa, there's a new one I just did on Shark Tank this week called Snacklins, S-N-A-C-K-L-I-N-S. I'm always looking for food advantages, right? And so these things, they're these crispy dippers that are, they're kind of like pork rinds, but they don't taste like pork rinds. They just have that kind of crispy feel to them. And a bag is only 80 calories, and it's all natural ingredients, no added ingredients. So I just pig out on those all day long, right? They're a little salty in terms of that the salt falling off, so you got to be careful where you're at. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, for 80 calories, I can get a good munch in. And so because I'm a vegetarian now, I eat a lot of hummus, so I use them to scoop everything. Yeah, so that's another one. I did another Shark Tank deal called Eterniva, where you can take a hair or the ashes of someone who's been cremated and turn it into a diamond, which is crazy.
What?
Yeah, it's really crazy when you think about it. But, you know, people want these eternal diamonds, you know, where someone that you really care about has died, and, you know, cremation, more than half of deaths, people end up being cremated now. And so you can take the ashes, and it takes 8 to 10 months. They put it in this special process where our bodies are like 16% carbon, and then they smush it down and turn it into diamonds. And it works. And so you can end, you know, 8 months later, you have a 1-carat diamond that looks really cool. And it's your dad, you know.
Wow.
That's weird. I wanted my wife to grind up my ashes and snort me. Is that a little extreme? Is that too much?
I could go with that, too. It's just what you cut it with that matters.
Let's snort your ex. Okay. So pardon my ignorance. I don't know a whole lot of billionaires. You're one of the few that I know. What is... like your average billionaire, how many company or business interests does
everybody's different. I mean, for me, I like helping young entrepreneurs. I like helping people grow companies. That's kind of my way of giving back, just helping support these companies, investing in them, giving them advice, and hopefully turning them into helping them reach their dreams and their goals. And so, I mean, I don't know what most other rich women or guys do. I mean, there's not like a little club and we all get together.
Wearing those masks.
Right, or the Facebook group. They didn't let me in anyways. But we're on that topic, right?
Yeah.
So there's supposed to be all these things, the Trilateral Commission, right? All these other secret billionaires.
The Illuminati.
Groups, the Illuminati, right? Why don't I ever get invited?
You're gonna tweet their secrets, man.
No, I wouldn't tweet it. I mean, it's like, you know, like I want to be in the Illuminati. I earned the right to be in the Illuminati. Yeah.
Are you talking about like an Eyes Wide Shut thing?
Well, all these rich, skull and crop, whatever.
Yeah, right.
Like W's in, right? At least that's what
you can't get in.
No one invites me.
What? Dude, I don't want to. I'm not sorry to make you feel bad. I think Jay-Z is in because he's always holding up the Illuminati sign. They let him in before you, man.
It's really wrong, too.
This is wrong because you were a billionaire first.
I was a billionaire first. I qualified. I paid my dues, right? And I mean, at least let me in the Trilateral Commission so I can make some decent decisions on
the Bilderberg Group or whatever.
Whatever
that is.
It is, right?
See, we thought there was a billionaire club, and we thought at one point many years ago you asked me to make a song for "I Like Big Macs" instead of "I Like Big Butts."
It's one of the greatest songs ever.
And we thought nothing ever happened, and we thought, was that a billionaire scavenger hunt? Or did you? Can you get a guy? Like, what was that?
Well, you could do another one. I want to join the Illuminati. I want to join the Illuminati.
Okay, is part of being that club that now you're doing great social media posts with your kids?
Yeah, well, I mean,
you're all over TikTok, aren't you?
Yeah, I like TikTok. My daughter, my oldest daughter, loves TikTok, and there's kind of like a battle between my middle and oldest daughter to see who gets more views and stuff. So we got to do like stupid videos, and so I'm always game.
I respect the hell out of that. You're a good dad. And so what does that dad life for you at school function stuff? Do other dads cozy up to you and pitch you a business idea or talk Mavs or give you some strategy ideas?
I don't mind talking Mavs, but the business pitches are too much.
How often is that?
Well, you know, when someone new comes to school, they learn very quickly, you know, just don't. But yeah, there's always that person that just cannot stop pitching me. And, you know, they might play, you know, the dad of someone who plays on my daughter's basketball team or whatever. But I try not to go like to the socials. you know, my wife will go to those where, you know, happy hour for fourth grade dads. No, I'm not going.
Right.
You know, I'll do stuff with my son all day long, you know, but I'm not going to the happy hour for fourth grade dads or seventh grade or sixth grade girls or, you know, 10th grade girls. Just not going to happen.
Well, you mentioned 10th grade girls. So my daughter's a ninth grader and I'm just seeing all that. And it really is overwhelming. And so someone else in your organization has a daughter around the same age. And the other day you mentioned that Rick's heart is softening. And I think a lot of people are skeptical about that. So he's got these young players. He's got to, quote unquote, turn his team over to. And we all know Rick didn't get where he was by just turning the keys over all the time.
Well, he doesn't have many options.
Right, exactly. So let's talk about that. How different is Rick? How is he handling having young guys run this team? What's going on there?
I mean, he's excited about it, you know, because he sees the future and he sees a path. And he knows the talent we have. When I was at practice yesterday, I was like, what do you think? And he just gave me a big smile. You know, and for Rick, that's a big step forward. It wasn't like, oh, man, we've got this we got to deal with. I don't know how I'm going to do this like we have had in past years. It was just a big smile. So I take that as a good sign.
Wow. Okay. So so he's softening up a little bit maybe?
I guess it's all relative.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, well, yeah, your experience with him is going to be wildly different than mine.
Well, yeah, and players too, right? Because, you know, Rick is the best in-game X and O's coach there is.
Yeah.
Period, end of story. And players recognize and respect that. And so they're, you know, his mind is playing that five-layer chess and trying to figure out what to do in-game. And I think that's what leads him to gear towards older players, because he knows that when he says this is what needs to be done, that they can do it. But we took away a lot of those options, you know, and so now we've got a much younger team, but we've got a good group of guys that have good basketball IQ. So I don't think it's going to be a problem.
You said something there, and I don't know how, you know, a lot of fans don't really pay attention to the below the surface stuff, but you guys have somebody on your staff that's incredibly important because Rick is the way he is. Uh-huh. I think Jamal Mosley's amazing.
Yeah,
for this
Mosley's
team.
Great. Yeah.
Y'all almost lost him this summer too. He got teams looking at him.
Yeah. He wasn't going anywhere. So, yeah, but Mosley's really good.
So tell our people, our fans listening, what he does for the team.
So Mosley's coach, I mean, he does the defense, and he's super sharp, and he's learned a lot from Rick, but he's got a great relationship with the players.
Yeah.
And so he's kind of the opposite side of Rick. So where Rick will sit down and have dinner with them and talk to the guys and be social, but Jamal will be, hey, you know, and be a lot more forthcoming and just in terms of their personal lives and able to get to know the guys a little better. Cause he's like 40 years old. So he just relates just on it. Rick isn't going to talk hip hop. You're right.
Rick is,
you know, and we also have Shams, right? So,
yeah.
So Shams also the same way. He's really a lot more in tune to culture that, you know, a 20-year-old or 25-year-old is going to connect to than probably Rick is.
So we've asked you about this before. I'm always curious. And in our pretend land, we imagine, hey, Mark Cuban goes and hangs out with Jerry Jones and they hang out. What is your relationship like with Jerry? Do you guys
get great with Jerry?
Do y'all ever spend time together or talk or visit?
Not a lot of time, but we'll talk every now and then.
Yeah.
And so, you know, if something comes up, we'll chit chat, or if I see him at an event, we'll always talk and say hi. And, you know, he's called me to offer support on different things, and I've called him. And we've got a great relationship. I get along really well. And I talk to Charlotte, you know, she'll come to games, and Steven will come to games, so I'll see him there. We get along great with the Cowboys.
There's some pretty spectacular synergy that's evolved here with the local sports teams.
We all get along well.
You guys, with what you did for Romo, that was so classy.
Yeah, I get along with Tom from the Stars. I haven't done a lot with Clark from the FC Dallas yet, but We all get along really well.
So in your opinion, what makes Jerry Jones special?
All he wants to do is win. That's it. That's all he cares about. You know, and Jerry's probably the best salesperson I've ever met. You know, I'm good, he's better. Because Jerry's relentless. That's, you know, he's always trying to sell. And, you know, he always wants to win. And it doesn't make it any easier to win, but that's where his heart is all the time. He does a great job. I'm a huge fan and I look up to him.
I don't know if you know this, but there's actually Cowboy fans walking around that think Jerry doesn't care about winning.
That's
crazy to hear.
No, that's ridiculous. Yeah, that's just patently ridiculous. Jerry, I mean, you can see him at a game. I have season tickets. You can see him at a game. You can see him on TV in away games. He's like me, right? His heart, you know, may not jump around as much as I do or scream as much as I do, but his heart is there 100% of the time.
And he's a businessman. I'm not trying to make him sound like Charlie Sheen, but making money is winning. I mean, I think a lot of people don't realize that.
They're not mutually exclusive.
No.
Right? And the NFL in particular, making more money gives you more opportunity.
Yeah.
And so, because you see a lot of teams that just won't spend the money to do what they need to do or don't know how to spend it. You know, it's not like there aren't teams that have just been in the cellar in the NFL for year after year after year, and that's just not the Cowboys.
What do you make of the future of entertainment consumption in terms of like Netflix, YouTube, those direct TV?
Streaming, bits or bits, right? I mean, when you watch regular TV now, it's now digital streaming. It's just streaming, but it's just preset channels on a linear basis. And when you watch them on your phone or you get Netflix or whatever, you're just going to have more and more choices. The choices are just going to increase, not decrease. And as we get more interactive and augmented reality and AI become more prevalent, it'll get even more interesting. So it's all changing, and that's a good thing.
I read too much science fiction as a kid. I'm scared of the future. I'm scared of AI and all that stuff.
I'm not at all.
What about when robots take over? What are you going to do then, Mark?
Yeah,
they're taking over, Mark.
Mark.
I'll, you know, eat more. Play more basketball.
You don't think Cyberdyne's going to happen? We're eventually going to create a robot that ends up being the end of our humanity.
No, I know, because there's no robots aren't motivated.
Robots not yet.
No, because you have to be sentient, where they have to have a conscience in order to be motivated, and you can program robots to do things, but then they're just replicating what they're programmed to do. You know, so I don't expect that they're going to have a conscience. Now, that doesn't mean that people can't program them to do some pretty nasty things with, you know, military applications. But yeah, I'm not worried about the robots taking over. You know, there's certain things that have to happen. First, the processing speed has to improve significantly. And as of now, anyways, there's only really four great processor semiconductor companies that can even begin to do those things 30 years from now. As of now, you have to have manual dexterity. Right. So even there's a robot hand that can do Rubik's Cube. Right. If you guys saw that thing. Mm-hmm. But that's just decades away from being able to put it on a robot. And you have to have power. Right. And so solar power isn't near close enough, not efficient enough. Batteries can't carry enough weight. It can't be like, you know, something out of Gladiator. Then the Energizer Bunny walks out and, you know, plugs in more batteries. And so there's just a, you know, not even decades, a century to go before we can even have that conversation.
So shots fired at C-3PO. Yeah. That's what I took out of that.
Do you believe in UFOs?
Yeah. I just think mathematically the probability is that there's other things out there that exist. I just don't know who, what, or where.
You haven't been invited to that club either?
I'm pissed off at that one too.
The guy from Blink-182's got that on lock. You should hook up with him. What's that guy's name?
Tom DeLong.
Tom DeLong or DeDong.
Okay, I got to ask you about this before you go. It seems like people who want new jerseys are never satisfied. I see this on social. It's like, I don't understand. Like you
that's
can come
like
out,
the biggest.
What is up with that? So
forever in life, right? Whenever somebody's creative, they always think they're the most creative and everybody else's creativity sucks, right? It's like, oh yeah, the Mavs put out jerseys and somebody intentionally designed them so everybody would think they suck, right? The people who designed them weren't creative, right? So they designed them intentionally to be awful. No, it's ridiculous. The people who design our jerseys think our jerseys are great.
Right.
They show them to other people who think our jerseys are great.
Right.
And then on Twitter, people complain just because that's the fun thing to do on Twitter.
Loud minority.
Yeah, it's not even a big minority.
Yeah.
You know, it's, there's 30. Okay, so maybe I'm wrong. It's not 30. It's 300. Okay. The bottom line is if they sell, we'll know.
Right.
If they don't sell, we'll know.
And you'll do something different.
We'll do something different.
Okay, 214-747-MAVS. Can people call and get tickets right now for tonight?
Yeah, there's probably a couple left for tonight. There's definitely some tickets left for Sunday, and we'll always free some up right before the game, about an hour before, so if you want to walk up to the box office.
Man, it's always huge when you come in studio.
It's always a blast, guys.
Let's
always
go! Season begins tonight!
Can't thank you enough,
I want to join Illuminati!
All right, there he goes. The owner of the Dallas Mavericks, the great Mark Cuban, in studio.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.